Get that frog out of there. Well, happy Mother's Day, women. Mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers. It really is an exciting time to stop and think about. You know, she was talking to somebody yesterday about, you know, but if you hadn't had your daughter then, she wouldn't be that daughter. You would not be who you are if it hadn't been that time, that seed. And just think, and that's how awesome each individual really is. And that we think that this life began because two cosmic dust particles ran into each other. Something that has the right amount of everything, knows how to build itself, knows how to repair itself, happened by accident. That's a bunch of garbage. Well, we're going to bless the top. Let me get a drink. See, it'll get better. I promise. We're gonna recognize the mothers at the end of service, and we're gonna bless the tithe and offering right now. But you know, mothers, we do appreciate you, obviously, because we wouldn't be here. And I'll play the same card on Father's Day. All right, let's bless the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for your love. Father, we thank you for your mercies. Father, we thank you for our mothers. Now, Lord, we present to you today our tithe and our offerings. Father, we present it to you as holy. We present it to you out of love, not out of duty, but because we want to honor you with it. Now, Lord, we present it to you, and we know that it comes with a promise that you will pour out blessings in our lives. So, Father, now bless the tithe and the offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, super kids are dismissed. Now, I did have one thing, and I forgot. I don't know if Angela announced it. I know everybody in here pretty much knows. But Angela and I are gaining a daughter, and Dave and Michelle are gaining another son. She said yes, obviously. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you, many of you have asked how our trip went down to Georgia. Just listen. Have you seen some of my pictures that I put on Facebook? The ones that look foggy, that is rain. That is not fog. That's how hard it was raining. Jesse and I, we had to drive up this mountain. I'm guessing it was about 3,000 feet by the time we got up to where we needed to be. And we start walking down this trail. And, you know, you could hear a little bit of thunder rolling. And then we're just boogieing down the trail. And then all of a sudden this lightning just flashes above our heads and stuff, and we just both stopped, and as that cracked, it was like, okay, that's a little unnerving being this close to the thunder and the lightning up here. But we worked our way down a mile down the mountain and got to those falls, and I mean, they were beautiful, but I couldn't keep my phone out for very long without it getting drowned, even in its case. So, but we had a great time. We didn't catch any fish until the last day. He caught a couple things, bluegill and a Chattahoochee bass, some bass down there. I don't know, we might call it garbage up here, I don't know. But yeah, if you're ever going to plan a fishing trip, make sure the fish aren't spawning when you go on your trip. We saw trout that big, we could see them in the water. We put our flies, you couldn't use real worms at that time. They just wouldn't bite. He even played with the bass for a half hour, and it just kept going after the fish and it'd spit it back out. It wouldn't eat it. And it wouldn't leave its spot. So yeah, make sure they're not spawning. When they got love on their mind, yeah, food is secondary. Praise God. But we did, like I said, we did end up catching a couple little fish, but they were trout, so that's all we cared. our mission was successful. And yes, the water was very cold. Very, very cold. But, well, this morning I had a message I thought, you know, last week or that I was kind of thinking about. There's some things I've been thinking about for the last month or so now. And I was like, okay, well, and it was on death, just so you know. Not really a great message for Mother's Day. But if you understand, yeah, when I do it, you'll understand more about death. But what we're going to talk about today is something Angel and I were actually talking about the other morning. And I sat there and I'm like, oh, that'll preach. And God said, yes, it will, Sunday. So I said, all right, that's what we're preaching. You know, many times, you know, we all have an internal struggle with things. We want to do it our way. It's our way or no way. And in God's kingdom, that isn't the way it goes. So we fight God. We don't want to do it your way, God. See, God's way for the children of Israel was to bring them up to the mountain and introduce himself. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be good to know the person who's providing your life? That would be awesome, wouldn't it? But they didn't want that. They wanted it their way. And their way was stupid. Let's just be honest. I'm not going to get religious here and say, oh, that was just the way God wanted. God didn't want it that way. He wanted the people to know him as Father. That is what really rubbed the Jews wrong of Jesus' time, was he said, my Father. No, their father was Abraham, remember? They said, our father is Abraham. We don't know who you talking about, Jack. He said, my Father who is in heaven. That's why he taught us to pray, our Father who is in heaven. You know, in today's society, which is all messed up, I'm just going to be flat out honest, that's the easiest and most polite word I could come up with to describe today's society. Mothers, you're looked down upon for being mothers. If you stay at home and take care of your children, you're looked down upon. Why? That is a tough job. And I would actually concur with the saying that if men had to put up with the pain of childbirth, there would be no children. Okay? We would whine about it. We just wouldn't have it. But we have now come 180 degrees the other way. Yeah, I will agree. Women were treated bad. You weren't allowed to vote. You weren't allowed to own property. You weren't allowed to do this, this, and this. That's wrong. That's asinine. But we're so far the other way now that if you're a man, you're wrong for just being male. And you may not be male, even though you got the plumbing. Don't know what's wrong with society when a kindergartner on a movie can say, tell you, yeah, you don't, you know. Boys and girls, they're too different. But they have to be. We have to have mothers. We have to have fathers. You can't be an it. Sorry. And this isn't even the message. But we fight. See, that's the thing. We're fighting. The society now is wanting to fight God on what he created. The Bible says he created them male and female. Period. There is no it's, they's, thine's, I'm Pan, I'm bi, I'm this, I'm that. Okay, if you want to be Peter Pan, hasta la vista. I'm tired of people telling us you got to be this way. I want to be the way God created me. Just like, I loved that one. She said, help me be a better wife, a better daughter, a better mother. And he said, how about you be what they need? How about you be what I want you to be? God created you in such a way that you already have the makeup to be who he created you to be. Except you want to fight him on changing the things in you that need to be changed. I had lots of attitudes about things. Lots of wrongly conceived notions of what God was, who God is. and never realized he wasn't like that. If I missed a time of prayer, oh, he's going to be so mad at me. Why? I was praying in that river, water that is 48 degrees. It was just above freezing. It's coming off the top of the mountain. And I was able to pray in the river. Oh, you didn't go to your prayer closet? You didn't beat and wail and cry? No. And no, I wasn't always praying, Lord, let me catch a fish. There were people that came to mind and I began to pray for them as I was casting my line. There was just something about it. And as God has showed me how to be me, and he's shown Angela how to be her, we become what each other needs. I've told her this before. I said, when I was in school, I had a notion of the woman I wanted to marry. This, and I had a girl picked out. And I will tell you to this day, thank you, Jesus. But I thought what I wanted was going to make me happy. But God said, no, this is what you need. And you'll find out it was everything you wanted. And that is what I had found. And so when I quit fighting God in changing things, my ideas of things, how the church has taught some, in my opinion, some wrong doctrine, we have messed people's relationships up with God and trying to make them to be mini-me's. I don't want you to be a mini-me. I don't want that. I've got three of them. Now, they act like their mother, too, but there's times I look and say, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I put you through. They're just like me. They think it's their own thoughts. I'm like, no, it's hereditary. And they'll sometimes say, oh, you're... And my mom and my sisters have even said, you act just like Dad. No kidding. And then I'll have somebody that knew my grandfather. I was four when he passed away. And they said, your grandfather, you look just like him. Now, mind you, by the time he was my age, he looked like an old man. He had a rough life. But all this stuff just passed down. Good and bad. And God only wants to take the bad out of you and tweak the good sometimes. I look and I try to look back at my family. And some of my family is very, what's the word, reserved. When I say reserved, I mean they are almost to a fault. They pull in and they just rather not get to know people. And you can ask Angela, I really don't know a stranger. Don't know why. Maybe it was moving 22 times before I was 22. Changing schools 11 times. Maybe it had the fact that I had to do this stuff, and people, you know, you don't think about it, and you had to do it to survive. And so now it became who I am, and I can strike up conversations with people anywhere. Jesse and I were going up to a waterfall. We were actually going up checking out the fishing is what we were doing. We had to pay $6 a person to get through the gate just to go look at the creek. But there's falls half a mile up the way. And there was this group of three people there, two ladies and a man. And, you know, they were all retired. And they were trying to take pictures of each other. And I said, would you like for me to take a picture of all of you? Oh, yes, would you? And she hands me her phone. She didn't know what she was doing. Thank God Jesse did, because he came over and he looked at me and said, well, you ain't going to get anything with that mode. And it must have been an iPhone, because I'm like, my Android doesn't have that option. And... He got me over there to the right one. Well, the other lady said, well, if you're going to take one with hers, you got to take one with mine. So now I've got two phones. And next thing you know, we are standing there talking. And in the midst of COVID and all this stuff, this woman, she's only about 8 tall. She's just over here, just look at this, and showing me all this stuff. And, you know, they were from Michigan originally. They live in Florida now. And I didn't know, man, but boy, you'd have thought we were friends. Old friends. Oh, you know, I was expecting a hug in a minute, you know. But see, that was something that is actually in my family, but people fight it. And that's how you get to talk to people. You want to know how to talk to people about Jesus? If that's your appointment at that time, talk to them. Don't come up and start telling them they're going to hell. That's the dumbest approach I ever was taught. Do you know you're going to hell? Had no clue what to say when the guy said yes. Okay, they didn't prepare me for this moment. And so I quit trying to do things. I pulled in. I said, never again will I do that. And I never talked to anybody about God again. And which is kind of funny looking at the future that was ahead of me. And so I didn't. But God began to open opportunities and show me how I could talk to people about him if I did it his way for me, which was one-on-one, which was talk to them right then about what's on their heart, what's on their mind. I led my roommate to the Lord in Okinawa. He was searching New Age transcendental meditation and all kinds of garbage. To this day, he still serves God, and he raised his family in a godly home. That means the world to me. Because I've told you, some of you know, I've told you before, I didn't exactly live the greatest godly life in front of him. I had my own battles to fight. And he was witness to part of it. And I thought that it would hurt him, but God protected him. God used me to introduce him to his creator. And God protected him through that. And then God brought me through a whole year and a half ordeal. Everybody thought the war was over oil and over this and that. No, the war was God needed to keep me in Okinawa for a year and a half. So the war was just, no, he didn't do that. He took the opportunity to keep me from going to the war so that I had to fight it, had to fight my internal war. And when I fought it, and I still had to grow. I still had a lot of growing to do. Still got a lot of growing to do. But I've learned that when I quit fighting God on things, God says, that's not what I want. That's not what I want for your son. I gotta bite my tongue. I'm like, okay, Jesus. My boys are in your hands. I'm letting go. And I will keep my peace. Because, you know, that's no parent wants their child to have to go through everything they did. That's why we try to make things a little better. We try to do this a little different. Try to do that a little different. It don't always work. Because the truth of the matter is, they are just like you. The things that were hardwired into you are sometimes hardwired into them, and they have to deal with it. Or maybe they don't have the same exact things. Maybe they got something else, and they need to be handled a little different. And I'll be honest with you, there's things with all three of my boys. I don't understand them all because they act like their mother in that. She understands that because that's the stuff she dealt with. So if you will open your Bible this morning, you find my glasses here. I held Carter that back there a little bit ago, and I usually put him over here. So I moved him over here because I hold him right here and I didn't want him broke. This is my second pair in a month. These cheap glasses don't last. But, so I moved it over here. Well, he wanted to hang over here. So they're a little flat now. But Genesis chapter 32. Let's go up to verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and he sent over whatever he had. Jacob's about to meet his brother Esau for the first time in 20 years. Y'all remember how the last time they met ended up? He wanted to kill him. He stole his birthright. And Jacob's a little nervous. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." Now remember, Jacob, if I remember right, means deceiver. It's kind of par for the course of Jacob's life, wasn't it? Birthright, he and his twin Esau, they fought in the womb. And then when Esau was born first, if you've never really read the description of Esau when he was born, they said it looked like he was wearing a fur coat. That's our modern translation. He was covered in hair. What on earth is that thing? You're telling me that's my child? That looks like a billy goat. But out of the womb, Jacob reached out and grabbed Esau's heel. And everybody did take that for a sign. As a matter of fact, the Lord had prophesied before that there were two nations in her womb. One would be stronger than the other, and the older would serve the younger. God had already told him. And so from that point on, we see a lot of deception in Jacob's life. And he received deception. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let me finish this up. He said, "My name," and he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." That's an interesting thought. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Now, God changed his name from deceiver to one who struggled with God and prevailed. He held on. He wanted the blessing. Now, here's the mystery. Why were they wrestling to begin with? Nobody knows. There is nothing on why they were wrestling to begin with. But we do know that it says angel, and Hosea even said angel. But if you notice in your Bibles, up there it might not have been necessarily capitalized. But anytime it referred to the angel or him speaking, it was capitalized, signifying it's a deity, not Gabriel, Michael, but the angel of the Lord, which we know is Jesus before he came to earth. He struggled with God, and he even identified, "I have struggled with God, not with an angel." Okay? So he was wrestling with the Lord and winning. But here's the problem. Why would you want to win against the Lord? He had a very strong will. Anybody ever had a strong-willed child? Yeah. Was it this one? No. A strong-willed child, they want what they want. They will take the beating. Do you understand? I want what I want. I'm going to go back and do it. You might as well beat me now. Let's get this over with because I'm going to do it. I remember the day Justin was little and I swatted him. And I, you know, Justin's always like, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "No, buddy." I said, "Here, all I ever did was flick of the wrist. That's all I did." And he said, "Oh, man, I thought you went back." And I said, "No, I just flick of the wrist." I said, "If you know how to do it, you can get the point across without hurting somebody." But the day he turned around and looked at me, well, that didn't hurt. There was a part of me, I was torn asunder. Part of me was in utter amazement at the audacity, the intestinal fortitude. And then there was the part that was thinking, the old flesh. Oh, yeah? Let me show you what I can do. But that would hurt him. And I just looked at him. And as I thought about it, I just put my hand on his head, turned him around, directed him out, and went in the other room and laughed. From that point on, though, we found other things that hurt worse. Oh, yeah? You don't get any TV. You got to write. My boys love to write. They loved writing things. I wrote, I don't know how many books of the dictionary for my teachers. But you need to copy this many pages of the dictionary. Seriously? Or I will not, I love the one, I will not say ain't. It's in the dictionary now, by the way. I can take two pencils together and write twice as fast. I did a lot of sentences. But he struggled with God. He was, we don't know what started it. But we do know he was fighting God. Well, maybe he was wanting more blessing. I don't think that's exactly how God wanted to bless him. Because it ended up costing Jacob. Remember, he touched that spot on his hip and the muscle shrank. This is forever. It didn't have to be. He did not have to limp for the rest of his life. But because he didn't want to change the first way, God had to do something to rectify it. My challenge to you, listen to what God's doing. Quit fighting him. He's wanting to change things in you. If you struggle with things, you know, the Bible tells us, we talked about anger and wrath a couple weeks ago. If you've got an issue with that, you need to deal with it. Get in the Bible. Might be a light bulb, I don't know. I can see it flashing behind me. But deal with the problems. By the way, you got to go back to the root of the problem. And you can say, well, I'm going to cut this tree off. I've got a hickory tree that I cut down when we first moved out there. The power, or Asplund, just came back through and cut a 15-foot tree down again off of the same thing because the roots were still alive. What I did didn't mean nothing. I just took off that part. Well, a couple years later, there it is. It's about to touch the power lines again. They cut it down. And they'll probably have to keep coming down until the roots die out. How do we do with that? We go back to the source of the problem. What was it that triggered us? What was it that throws you? There's a way to be angry and sin not. But when we can't control it, it's sin. How about your addictions? Everybody's got them. Don't sit there and look at me like I'm, my addictions aren't any worse. Addiction is addiction, period. Whether it's to alcohol, drugs, nicotine, caffeine, for those preachers that like to preach against all the other three but don't deal with the caffeine, it's a drug, folks. At one time, it used to be controlled, but they figured out a way to make money on it. And know this, when the government figures out how to make money on it, they'll legalize it. That's why marijuana is being legalized. It used to be legal in the 20s. But they had so many people being killed because they were driving more than drinking, they outlawed it. And people could grow it in their backyard. We ain't making no money on it. We can't just go up and make grow tobacco anywhere. I don't know that tobacco will grow north of Columbus. They can make money on it. They can regulate it. When we deal with the problem, the source of our problems, why do I do this? You'll start finding. And it's going to take some serious time with you and God. There's days when I'm like, why am I so angry? Why do I just want to rip people's heads off right now? And then I have to realize the devil knows what buttons to push. And when he knows which buttons to push in my life, I have to say, whoa. Because I'm telling you, I feel my blood pressure go up. I feel my heart rate go up. I feel it all. And then my work, you know, I love working in my workshop. I find I'm making stupid mistakes. I'm breaking things. I'm doing things wrong. And it doesn't benefit me. And God has been trying to deal with me. Like I said, I used to think I never had an anger issue. Until in the end, a couple years ago, God showed me that's why I did what I did. I was just masking it. Because, see, the fun-loving guy that everybody loved, well, he was different. He was the one that was inside. I love to have fun. I do stupid things. My brother put, there's a picture I posted of a waterfall that was literally by, it was the ditch. If you've seen it on Facebook, it is the ditch. I kid you not. Angela has seen it. This thing is the stinking ditch, and it's about a 25-foot waterfall. My brother said, admit it, you wanted to slide down that, didn't you? I said, I ain't gonna lie, I thought about it. My nearly 51-year-old body said, don't do it, dummy. I love to have fun. I love to do things. I love to go on adventures. I'll be the first one to crawl through an old house or an old barn. When they tore the house down to build the BP station down here, there was a house that used to have a couple things in it, a hair salon. They had to have it abated, all the asbestos removed, and then they boarded up the doors. I crawled through the basement window and pulled the oak trim that was in the basement out. Wasn't supposed to be in there, but I was in that house. I've gone through attics. I've gone through crawl spaces. I found all kinds of cool things just by being a little adventurous. But there was a part of me that was so angry with things, with people. People said things. People did things. People lied. And when I finally started dealing with that, I thought, okay, now we can start putting this baby to bed. And by bed, I mean put a bullet in its head because I'm tired of dealing with it. But the devil's not going to let you rest with it. He's going to bring it up. Hey, remember me? Remember how we get hooked on the feeling. That's why I've told you, even people that fight depression, I get it. Sometimes, but there comes a point, you enjoy it. You get high because you get the attention. And there's people that don't want away from their depression because it now defines who they are. I don't want to be defined by depression. I don't want to be defined by anger. I want to be defined as the way God sees me. God doesn't even see me right now as I am. That's not how he sees me. He sees me finished. Phil, he sees you finished. He doesn't see you as you are now. Harold, same. He doesn't see us the way we see us. That's why the Bible tells us right now we see in a mirror dimly, but then one of these days we will see clearly, face to face. We will be seen as we are seen. And when God sees, you get to see who you are. That you don't have to be the way you are. You don't have to struggle. Jacob and Esau did not have to do it, but they did it. To this day, Jacob and Esau still fight. Israel and the Arabs. Esau was the father of the Arabs. Certain tribes, maybe not all of them. But we have a lot of contention. We're getting caught up today in the political mumbo jumbo that's going on. If we let every little report bother us, we will never have peace. Jesus said, I leave you a peace that the world doesn't understand. They don't get it. And they can't take it away. See, if somebody gives you something, let me just say this time out right here. If you give somebody something, there are no strings attached. It's theirs. If they want to sell it, they can sell it. If they want to give it away, they can give it away. I've had people give me that. Now, if you ever decide to sell this, I want it back. It's not a family heirloom, and I paid for it. No. Then I've had other people give me stuff, and they said, you do whatever you want. It's yours. We don't care. That is giving somebody something. All right? So, we think that we can take things back because we gave it to them. Well, see, the world didn't give me this peace. I don't have this peace because of Colt or Smith & Wesson. I don't have that peace because I can fight. I don't have that peace. I have that peace because I know who my God is. I have that peace knowing that, okay, wait a minute, 2 years ago a tree tried to kill me and it didn't. Why? Because God has a further plan. It didn't even paralyze me. It hurt, not going to lie. Why? Why didn't a helicopter fall out of the sky in a typhoon that killed 50,000 Filipinos? Why didn't that helicopter drop? It dropped 1,000 foot. I saw the altimeter. Why, when that machine gun came apart in my face, did I walk away? Why, when the taxi cab missed me by that much, I never saw the thing? I'm not stupid. I don't run out in front of cars. But somehow I cleared an entire lane of traffic and that cab missed me by that much. I was an adult. I knew better. I don't run out in front of traffic. I never saw the car. Because God protected me. Why didn't you die in Vietnam, brother? Because God protected you. Same thing. God protected us. He protected every last one of you from the thing that should have been destructive. He's got further plans for you. Don't think that just because, oh, the Antifa are coming, so what? I know which bathroom to use, thank you very much. We cannot be afraid of whatever the people, God wants this fear out of us, and He's working it. And every one of us has to work out our own salvation. She can't work it out for me. She can pray for me, which thank God she does. I'm sure she prays for me daily. Lord, let him get saved. But we have got to be willing to let God begin to work on us. When God says, is that right? See, and by the way, God's not the voice that's screaming. See, I can get loud. I don't need the microphone for your benefit. I need it so it can be recorded. That's it. I'm a loud person. The Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit is that still, calm voice speaking to your heart. The Holy Spirit is the one that said, Art, cut that tree down first. But Art fought with God. I said, I'm not cutting that tree down. I wanted to lay him down in that field in a certain position. And this tree would have been out of order. It was out of order. Do you understand? I had an order prescribed. I've dropped those trees. They all went boom, boom, boom. This one came, this one, boom. I cut them up. I wanted these trees laid right like that. I could back up the truck, throw the wood on, no problem. And don't think that thought didn't come back, that God had told me to cut that tree that broke my back first. I wanted to wait for Justin to get home so we could hook on and make sure the tree went in the field and not in the road. That tree was already leaning that way. It didn't need me, didn't need him. God had told me not to do what Art wanted to do. Do what he wanted me to do. I paid the price. Trust me, I'm reminded of it daily. Just like Jacob. And I'll tell you how much more God loves us, folks. I think I've told just a couple people. But when the tree hit me, it hit me in the back of the head and rode me down. It rode down my spine. It was scraped from the back of my head down until it finally got me down and did this. And as that tree went up, the same Holy Spirit that had told me to cut it down an hour earlier said, get up now. I told her, I said, at that particular moment, I couldn't even think. But I knew that when it went down, the only thing I said is, oh, Jesus, I'm hurt. And I said, instantly, my feet went out, and they were kicking. And next thing I know, I'm standing, and the tree is still moving. I know why God wanted me out from underneath that tree, because when it came back down, it had to bounce. And I was on the heavy end of it. It was going to be like a billy club on top of me again, and very well could have finished what it was going to start. But God still looked at, what would have happened if I had said, no, I'm just going to lay here and cry. I'm hurt. Well, I'm hurt. That didn't matter. But he kept me from being killed or paralyzed. So ask yourself, are you willing to be that stupid? I'm just showing you, I can be stupid. I ignored the voice of the Lord who was looking out for me. He told me what to do. And because I wasn't comfortable with it, I wanted it my way, I fought with God. Honestly, I can't see a real silver lining to this cloud other than a testimony that I can now tell people. One, listen to God when he tells you to do something. He tells you don't drive down a road, don't go down that road. He tells you don't go in a building, don't go in that building. It's that simple. But until we crucify the flesh, as Paul put it, we have got to crucify that thing daily because it wants to resurrect. Our flesh is an amazing thing. It resurrects every day. Now, the body may still be laying in the bed, but the flesh is in there burning and churning and say, let's go. I want to do my own thing. Paul talked about this a lot, but people don't get it. He even once told us, he said, you know, don't be bragging, saying, and he called it bragging pretty much. Don't be telling people, I'm going to go here next year and I'm going to go that city and this city. Primarily at that point, he was talking to the preachers. He said, rather say, if it's the Lord's will, this is what we're going to do. Because we get our itinerary. Well, I can't go there. It's out of my way. Yeah. We do that quite often. We tell God, that's out of my way. I can't do it. The day I saw the kid walking on 42, I knew where he came from. He's a mile from the jail. Anytime they're walking on 42, especially away from Mount Gilead, they just got out of jail. And I drove myself on up to Mansfield, did my business, came back down and ran into that kid outside Williamsport. He had only gone a couple miles, if that. And I saw him coming around. God said, didn't I tell you to pick him up? Okay, I'll go pick him up. I turned around and pulled up. Said, hey, where are you heading? Mansfield. I had to drive all the way back up to Mansfield, but I got to tell him about Jesus. And I didn't preach at him. I talked to him. I found out a little bit about him. And that's what opened the door. He knew he was, I mean, he just got out of jail, guys, and not for preaching the gospel. And nobody would come pick him up. Boy, what kind of great family he must have. When your family and friends won't pick you up, time for a life change. When a preacher has to turn around and pick you up and take you there, God gave you your moment. And I hope he took the opportunity. But again, if I had obeyed, I wouldn't have had all that extra gas. And my time. I was kind of on it. That was my excuse. You know, we throw up excuses, don't we? I ain't got the time, Lord. I don't have the time to do that. How about just do what God said and it'll be perfect for you? It'll be well within your soul. I'm going to tell you, nobody can start the change but you. And if it means, that's why I love my shop. I love being out there. I mean, I've had some couple hair-raising moments with God out there. that God moved and he showed me compassion. Even though I was acting a fool down there in my shop, he showed me compassion. By the way, he didn't show me how somebody else was wrong. He showed me how I was wrong. And I needed to change some things. Yeah, what they did or said may have been totally out of whack for him. But it wasn't them he was dealing with. It was me. Angela and I, years ago, we had this. We developed a theory. We started noticing some things. You know, anytime God started stirring in our hearts to do something, we started fighting. We're like, okay. We stop. God, what was that you told us to do again? We went back. We did what he said, and peace settled back in. But we knew what was God. It wasn't a, well, I want to do this. No, it was something we really didn't want to do. That's why we ignored his voice. But we knew God was leading us. God had already told us he was going to do things. The one big thing was he told us to move back to Ohio. You need to understand, we were very instrumental in our church. We loved it. We moved back. We went to the wilderness together. Had the best job I'd ever had. Making more money than I'd ever seen. Let me remind you, I was qualified for welfare as an E4. They just wouldn't give it to me. We came back and we went through our little wilderness. But during that time, I'd heard the message. That's the first time I'd ever heard about forgiveness, that you have to forgive. Oh, by the way, you can't be a vigilante. That was me. I had some really bad theories taught to me that were theories of a madman. I heard the message about forgiving. We thought we had forgave. Maybe she had, I hadn't. And then finally, and it turned out what she thought I was holding wasn't exactly the people that I was holding. It was the other people, the ones I finally forgave. By the way, that took place in 2001. Been back since 95. And I finally forgave two men. 3 months later, God told us to start this church. Our church closed down, and that was that. God would not and could not have allowed me to be the pastor if I held that forgiveness, unforgiveness. And I let it go. And I even ran into one of the men. I've talked to both of them. The one has since passed away. And he looked at me and he said, "When did you feel the call?" And I'm like, "Honestly, 6 months ago." "Oh, I felt the call when I was a teenager." I'm like, "No, I didn't feel the call when I was a teenager. I was a teenager. Rock and roll, fast cars, and girls. And yes, I was active in my church." Just so y'all don't miscombobulate things. Christian boys are boys. Christian girls are girls. You have to discipline yourself. Not gonna lie, it's not easy. But anyhow, and he never did go on, but it was in his church that God told me twice that I would stand before kings and generals, and that I was a pillar. Been told that word 3 times. 2 people that didn't know each other, and the one on an island in the South Pacific. None of them knew each other. Now, not 100% sure what that means. It can mean a couple different things. Proverbs says, you see a man who's diligent in his work, he will stand before kings. Praise God. I'm not for certain that's sure what it means. A pillar is something that stands through whatever. And if you're going to stand before kings and generals, it could mean bad things coming. Don't know. Don't care. If that's what I got to go through, that's what I go through. But if it's for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what I have to do. And I know God will be with me. So I'm not concerned, not worried. But none of that would have happened if I hadn't started changing in here. The little things you think aren't tripping you up are. And I can tell when I start holding on to things, I start reverting back. You will run backwards faster than you can ever go forwards. Cut the chain, leave the load back. You don't need to carry it anymore. I want to keep going in my flesh, but I think the Holy Spirit has said, I'm done. So, Joe, I think we have a couple mothers over there. If you could let them know. It is not a dishonor to be a woman. It is not a dishonor to be a stay-at-home mom. We made a decision. We paid a price for a while. We didn't have certain things because we didn't have cable, we didn't have this, we didn't have that. But it was the price we were willing to pay. And I tried to teach my children that doesn't mean that you're going to suffer. But the devil will do everything in his power to make you think twice about your decision. And if you got kids, you got them for a reason. I don't believe that it's all just a scientific thing. It is such a scientific anomaly that a woman can get pregnant. I mean, it's not like you're actually saying, okay, we're going to take this night crawler, we're going to put it with this chicken egg. You can't see this stuff. They're microscopic. And out of that, here you sit. You started off as a tiny little weird-looking thing and kept growing and growing and growing until you're this weird-looking thing. No. But you know, these children, we look around, we were just like them at one time. People had to have patience. And I ain't going to deny it, I had my fair share of seat warmings. But what we would like to do is honor all of you mothers today. So if I could have all the mothers rise. Doesn't matter if you're first time or not. And please come up here, and Matt, would you come here and help me? I was picking on you today, man. When they all get up here, if you take, go down the line, and yep. I don't care. Look at me for a minute. There you go. Let your husbands have the joy. You know, I look down through here, you know, and some of you, I've watched you have your children. Some of you, I've watched you as children. Some of you are my children. You know, but you know, mother, grandmother, and there's a great-granddaughter back there now. Generations. You've all moved from one. You know, you're about to get another son. Good luck with that. I have no idea how to handle girls, so. Yeah, she's been around long enough, we know. But, you know, got one on the way. And the little girl's giving you a rough time, isn't she? They do that. But I want to tell you, you really are appreciated. We may, us fathers, dads, your husbands, your sons, we may not tell, and daughters, we may not tell you enough. But we really do appreciate what you've done. And it's only days like this that we, it's a shame we have to be told by government to do this. But what I want to do is real quick is read. Cheryl, would you hand me my glasses? This is another reason why I don't have good ones. Thank you, sir. So, you know, a couple of years ago, we used to give these little cheap trinkets out. And it's like, you know what? If they're like the ones we give out Father's Day, they don't last much more than a month. And the pens, they're not good pens. We want to do something lasting. So we started giving to ministries that work with children. This is the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program. Let me tell you what it does. Since 2009, more than 12.5 million children have reported decisions for Christ while taking the Greatest Journey. These children, as well as those who hear the gospel at shoebox outreach events, share their faith with friends and family who in turn disciple others. Pastor Weiss, I'm not going to butcher it, hosted an Operation Christmas Child outreach in Vunica, a rural community in Fiji that had no church. He then invited the children to attend the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program. As the students gathered for Bible lessons, their parents grew curious and began attending too. The local witch doctor became a believer and offered his property as a place for the new church to meet. Today, 80 people attend regularly, and 5 additional churches have been started in surrounding villages. From the shoebox packers who pray for the boys and girls who receive their gifts to the local teachers who pray for the children who attend the Greatest Journey discipleship classes, prayer is the key to the work of Operation Christmas Child. Now, you've been around here for a minute. You know we heavily support OCC. And, you know, in all this, we get to help these children. And moms, don't let people tell you that if your heart is for your children, that you're wrong. Even fathers, I'll tell you this in a month. Our focus should never be our jobs. Yeah, we got to do them. We're responsible for those children. You're responsible for those children. You, and believe it or not, you get to speak into their life a lot more than you think. Because there is a time, you know, you've been around, some of you have been around long enough, you know that they vacillate between which one they're going to gravitate to. Right now, they're gravitating. Eventually, they'll start gravitating towards dad. And then, well, maybe later, they'll go back to mom. It's just what they do. Yeah. Look. But your job has been violent. And now that you're some of your grandmothers, you get to speak into these children's lives. What an honor. You get to do that. It's a privilege. It's not anything. Don't let Hillary Clinton or any other nut job tell you that you're just a woman who made a baby. Bless God, you may. Who knows? The Lord tarries. She might be a senator who changes the world. Right. Yeah. She might be an actress for Christ, who tells people the truth. See, she, right now she's not into the grandpa thing. She will go to grandma. So I want to bless you today. Gentlemen, please stand. We're going to bless these women because they're here today honoring God. When you honor God with your life, folks, that's the greatest thing you can do. You may not have to say things, but the way you've handled them, the way you've gone through trials and tribulations means a lot. Your children see. I was talking with Joshua the other day, and he's like, yeah, I remember being right here. I'm like, I didn't know you were up there. We've had a few things that through the years people have done, come to my house and done them. And I said, you know, I didn't know that. And I know he was expecting me to rip their heads off and rip their lips off or whatever. And I didn't. I wanted to, but I didn't. And your children are watching you. Doesn't mean you can't correct them. You've got to. That's the only way we learn. Sometimes we need that touch on the hip. But know this. You are loved. You really are. So gentlemen, stretch your hands forward here as we pray for these women. Father, I thank you and I praise you for each and every woman here today, Lord God. I bless them, Father. I pray that as they are raising their children and about to have their children, Father, I thank you that you're moving in their lives, Father. You're giving them wisdom. You're giving them hope. Father, I thank you that you're moving so that they do not feel inferior. Father, and if there is any, Father, I bind that spirit right now. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're going to minister love and patience and health and everything, Father, that they may think they're missing. Father, I thank you right now that their lives are blessed abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. Ladies, turn around. Gentlemen, give them a hand clap. And ladies. All right, you may be seated now. And if you want to remain standing, I'll dismiss you. Unless you're not hungry. Phil says, I ain't sitting down. So yeah, if we'll stand now, I'll dismiss you. Enjoy the day. Yes, it's raining. It is what it is. Don't let it change. You know, I got to tell you, it rained the first day Jesse and I were in the water fishing. It rained the whole time. Angela's like, so how is it? I said, well, it's wet with a chance of wet. And it had been one thing if we had fallen in the river, but we didn't. And so, but you know what? Sometimes rain comes and it forces you to enjoy a good time anyhow. And even though it rained the first 2 days, we had a great time. And, you know, God blessed us with some fish on the last day. And a beautiful day to travel. I told Angela, I said, well, what's the temperature? She's like, oh, it's cold up here, not supposed to get above this. I said, well, that's already that here. Sun's shining. We drove all the way to Columbus before we hit clouds. Well, maybe Cincinnati we started seeing them, but God blessed it. A wonderful trip. Ain't that right? He's like, all right, Pastor. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this gorgeous day, Father. Our attitudes will not be determined by the weather, but by, Father, the fact that you are sitting on the throne, that you are the King of our lives. Now, Father, I pray right now for every person who has heard this message today, Father, who is still struggling. Lord, I pray right now that you help them as they cry out to you, Father. You help them to accept what they need to do, the changes that are going to happen in their lives. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving, that you're opening the opportunities for them. And now, Father, I bless them in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you move in their lives as they go about this week, Father, that when news of disruptions come, Lord God, that you settle peace in their hearts, that they will not be moved either one way or the other, that you are their hope and their glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought you were Jesse or Justin.